What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show, and a merry, merry Christmas to you, if you believe in that stuff. If you don't, happy holidays or whatever. Doesn't really matter. If you're looking for some merch to give to somebody for the new year, go to AndrewSantinoStore.com. Or if you're on the YouTubes, you can just look down below. Look down below, dead of shirts, dead of hats, dead of glasses. Make sure if you're on the YouTubes to like and get the notifications and subscribe and do all the good stuff to keep this train a-moving. Also, if you are looking for more content, help support the show, the people behind the scenes, go to patreon.com/whiskeygingerpodcast. It's our Patreon where we do a whole bunch of stuff. We put up discount codes. We do episodes without ads. We do Zooms for the top tier, Cheeto chats, all sorts of fun stuff to get involved in. Check it out. Do yourself a favor. Keep supporting the Whisk Ginge crew. Enough rambling from me. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey, $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it. Once again today, it's the return of Andrew Schultz.
Hello,
cheers,
sir.
Baby. Cheers,
okay,
to you.
On. My bad.
No, you're
bad.
Good. You're good. Bop. I like that. Look at that Prada coat, too.
Come on, bro. It's different.
He looks
now.
Fancy now. Mm. For people that don't know, you're in the dark. Schultz is an incredible comedian, a good friend, and now he's a top dog on Netflix. Papa, you were number one, dude.
We were trending number one. We didn't do number one like globally.
Let's just say it. It was
all
number
one. We were number one.
We were number
bro.
One,
bitch.
We
were number one.
I don't know how. I got enough calls. This is how I gauge it. If I get calls from home and emails from people saying that they see it and they know about it, and they're not connected to the comedy verse.
Yeah.
They say they like comedy. You know, when friends are like, I like stand up. But then when they see stuff like that, I think that's a huge, it's a big W for the community.
Yeah.
You know? That's
also,
huge.
It's nice, and I think this is why we get along, you and I, is that like we have friends outside of comedy.
Well, that's most of my friends are outside of comedy.
Yeah, like we're regular people.
Humans, yeah.
That have chosen comedy as the thing we love that we want to do.
Sure.
Right? It's not like there are some folks that community that like, are they comics or they just don't have any friends?
It's like
if you go to the open mic, you have to hang out with people.
Right. You're like, do you not have anything else going on after this? No, I want to get home to hang out with my old bag.
Exactly.
Like, there's stuff I want to do.
So isn't it refreshing?
Yeah.
Like when you, like, I think that's why we connected so quickly. There's like Chrissy D, like all of us in their crew is like, there's people, we have this whole community of friends that are just like knuckleheads. Like if you think comics are weird, you have to meet like our friends.
Yeah, weirder.
Yeah.
Way weirder.
Yeah.
I got a phone call the other day from a friend who's on some shit, just wasted talk. It's just so funny because they remind you of who you really are.
Yes. I start losing myself if I'm not around them.
Yeah, it gets a little distant when you don't connect with these people more often.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because you get sucked into this vortex of shit, and we have it way worse than you do. I mean, LA, it's so easy to get stuck in the thing.
Yeah. It's easy to not socialize at all.
Yeah.
Out here. Like
you
can
disappear.
Very comfortably like sit. You have this lovely home. You have this backyard.
Yeah.
It's like life is good.
I can just
ease.
Yeah.
And in New York, because everybody kind of walks around, I'm going to get like cursed at or something in like a lovable way where it's still just like, yeah, I'm here. Like that's what I knew. That's what this guy, I can't take credit of it, but like this guy said, that's why I knew the city was coming back is he was crossing the street. And the light turned green, like right before he finished crossing the street.
Yeah.
And a taxi cab goes, get the fuck out of the street. And this is like one of the first days after quarantine. And he didn't even curse him. He just smiled. He's like, we're back, baby.
We're back, baby. Dude, we still are in the weird slumber. You know, LA is
Dog,
in the creepy slumber.
Sad, bro.
It's weird, isn't it?
Cause like,
and everybody's gone. It feels like no one's here. And if they are here, they're itching to get the fuck out of here.
Listen, leave.
I'm going to hold the fort down alone.
Yeah, like leave, don't leave, I don't care. Like it doesn't matter, but like what's happening with like shutting everything down, like no dining and stuff like that. Now it's happening in New York too. I don't care about like getting political in that regard. It cripples a city.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like,
it's
neutered.
Like, well,
what do you do?
I mean, I'll get political with it. It makes me mad. I just went for a run today. It's 74 degrees outside.
Yeah. Did you get eyes because you weren't wearing a mask?
No,
no,
because then I run in my neighborhood, so it's like I'm nowhere near people.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near, like, I'm not a scientist, but there's no fucking way I'm giving someone anything or getting anything when I'm running 15 feet away from you outside.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
You're good.
Yeah, so I mean, like that, there's no data for that.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that, but I'm just saying I'm running outside in this beautiful weather and I'm thinking of all places that deserve to stay open to try to help the economy, the biggest place that's crumbling, let outside tables, let people eat outside at maximum distance, right? Then just go, okay, we can only have 6 tables outside 12 feet apart. Fine. Like, let that exist. You have to have something.
Low key, I mean, obviously these government officials, like your stupid idiot governor and shit.
Gavin Newsom.
Mine as well.
Yeah.
Pathetic, but like, low key, I respect the fuck out of the restaurant business because they've been doing everything possible to like make it in this time. Like literally whatever's been thrown at them, they're like, all right, fine, we'll start building structures outside. We got the heating lamps. Like they're doing everything they can to stay open and then they keep cutting their balls off.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy because I know people who don't hustle. Like I know there are certain people who just like, we're like, I'll just wait and when the pandemic's over, I'll get back into it. And like, I'm just like, whatever, you don't want it. Like you're not even in the game anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you lose.
But then when I see like these restaurants, they're really trying.
Yeah.
Like they're serving food in New York. This is not 74 degrees. We're talking about 34 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold.
Right. And they've got these fucking like inside a volleyball, like these like plastic coverings. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Yeah,
like,
no, I saw online. And they've got little heat lamps everywhere.
Everywhere.
And everything.
And people are supporting. Yeah, we don't really want to sit out there. We'll take the food and go home. But we're like, all right, I like this restaurant. I'm gonna
help
you.
But you have they need it. The fact that they've shown all this ingenuity and change, and then the city hasn't, is really crazy to me. The city can't do that. But all these restaurants have been like, hey, well, we'll bust our balls, dude. Up here, near my house, they put out these flyers saying what they were gonna do is take away all the parking spots on the south side of the street so the restaurants could like impede the street,
like in New York.
And everybody was like, yep. Do it.
By all means.
Fine, do it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And guess what? They did it, and now they made them rip them right back out. Mm. So they put construction. I mean, literally, like panels. They built like decks. You know, they went to Home Depot. Were like, Jose, get everybody. They were drilling all the decks. They built them, and literally 2-3 weeks later, they had to take them all out. We support this restaurant in the neighborhood. It's a mom and pop Italian joint at Prosecco. And we love these people, and they're so nice, and they're always dope. And of course, sure enough, the dude's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it again. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this thing again. Because they did it twice. You know, they shut them down, open them up, shut them down, open them up. And then they shut down the sidewalk. They got a grant from the city to shut down the whole sidewalk so they could put tables on them. And then the city was like, no more. So
doesn't make sense.
I don't know what you want them. I've said this multiple times. 2020 was bad. 2021 gonna be worse.
You think?
Oh, wait, dude, wait, because so many small businesses, the collapse, you'll see the aftermath, right? Like any kind of tragedy that happens in this country, when it happens, it's remarkably sad. But what happens afterward is really, really awful because you see the domino effect of what that affected. How many people lost their job because the restaurant closed, and how many people does that affect? I'm just saying, time will tell who's able to bounce. And $600 from the government isn't going to do it. Yeah, $600. They said they're going to give
payment.
$600 is a stimulus check for Americans. They're going to do this half of the first one. The first one was $1,200. Now they're doing $600. $600.
And what I don't understand the argument for it. Like, do they think that's the game changer?
They think $600 is going to help people get through whatever they need to get through.
Right.
But until the vaccine is administered to everybody.
So $600 until everybody's vaccinated.
That's what they feel like it is it's an interim money they need to give to people until they can vax. Hey, so now that you had it in the past, now that that life has moved on, are you going to get the vaccine?
No.
Yeah, I was like, right, we don't, right? Yeah. You don't if you.
I mean, I don't even believe in that 3-month antibody thing.
You think it's longer or shorter?
Longer. Like,
yeah.
Antibodies for our entire life have always existed there, right?
Right.
You get. What is that shit? The chicken pox.
Yeah, right.
Then you get the antibodies, I think, now you never get chicken pox again.
Like for a kid, they say, like, my grandmother, this is funny, I learned this, because my grandmother just got shingles. Do you know what that is? She was out at the club, dude. She was at the club. She hooked up with a young dude. No. Shingles. She got shingles. And legit,
it's such an old disease.
It's old chicken pox. It's the same.
Oh, really?
It's the same viral. herpes zoster, bro. It's herpes. Herpes is chickenpox. It's
I didn't know this.
It's all the same. It's all the same thing. It's different strains.
Okay.
Basically, when older people get shingles, it's because they're so far beyond those vaccination years and so far beyond
that
the
they
years
can affect them again.
Yeah, but gotcha. Like, but that's why I'm always.
So
like,
I'll risk it at 70.
Right. So I'm like, well, why? Well, why am I now getting this email scare of like? 2 months. I'm like, if these only last 2 months, these are the bitchiest antibodies I've ever had.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And again, I'm not against the vaccination. I just don't want to go.
You're saying because of the situation. Yeah.
I just don't want to go do it. Like, yeah. I didn't want to get tested. It's just annoying. Like, I don't want to return jeans that don't fit. Like, I this is an inconvenience. Like, my hand has been broken for the last 4 months. I had a broken finger. I never fixed my finger.
It's fixed now.
I mean, it kind of, it's not perfect. Like, it doesn't close all the way. It doesn't open all the way.
Because you're going to end up with one of these. Look at that.
Yeah, but that's what we do. Yeah. Like, look, the bone is coming out of your foot.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's not supposed to do that.
Nah.
But it's like, do I get it fixed? And then 6 months go by, and you're like, I can walk kind of.
Yeah, but you know.
You ran 7 miles.
Yeah, I ran 7 miles. Yeah, the doctor said when I went in, he was like, because everyone that looks down at my feet, if I play ball, someone goes, what is wrong with your?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, dude, because I shattered it when I was in. High school, maybe. It was either high school or college. Playing ball or goofing around.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, look, the only way now to fix this is because it's healed that way is to shave the bone. And I said, well, is it going to impede on my health at all, like just having it? And he goes, no.
Just
it's,
leave it. Just
he's
leave
like,
it.
He's like, you know, you shave the bone, though, you're going to be in a boot and all that stuff. And I was like, nah, I guess I'll just leave it.
That's what that's dude, just leave after it. 30 is just leave it.
Leave it.
There's no.
I got a chip in my tooth.
Leave it.
Dude, yeah, I'm
it
leaving.
It would have
it.
To be half the tooth.
Yeah, it'd have to be Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, half the tooth for me to be like.
And even then, it's a week.
Yeah.
Even
then,
it's a week.
Yeah.
You'd have to have like production call you and be like, "Are we gonna fill in the tooth?" And then you'd be like, "All right."
I'm like, if you guys are paying for it,
because
I'm not doing it. Yeah,
but it's good. It's like you get to a certain point. It's like this is what I'm gonna exist as. This is how I look. Everything's fine. Like, come on, we're fine.
Yeah, we have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, like we're busy. You're busy.
Yeah,
we're busy.
We
don't have time for all this.
Yeah, in fact, going to the dentist has been one of those things where I'm like, now that after I had Rona, mm-hmm. I was like, well, I guess I can go now.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I'm like,
I'm not gonna do it.
I don't have time to do it. Like, I'll go next year.
Bro, I was gonna get my teeth whitened. They're like, you can't drink coffee for a week. I was like. A week?
Impossible.
You might as well just keep me at the dentist's office. What do you mean?
What do you want me to do?
I can't have coffee for a week?
Yeah. Tell me what I'm going to do for a week, then.
I sleep 3 hours a night. I'm not going to not drink coffee? Dude, it's nuts.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. By the way, backing up.
Yeah.
Shout out. Get back to some other reality. Shout out to everyone that worked on the show, by the way, because you did a great job of employing some great people.
Oh, my God.
And most specifically, I want to give a shout out to Robbie.
Robbie Slovic.
So, look, I loved Robbie. I knew Robbie when he was here. Always thought he was such a great, cool dude and a great joke writer. And then to watch him go to New York, which I knew he was going to go, him and Casey.
Yeah.
I knew, you know.
Shout out to Casey, too.
It was just kind of like, yeah, they're leaving.
Yeah.
And I was happy for him. I was like, dope, because they're good people. And to see him be a part of that show and be a part of your
huge
world,
part of it.
I was just happy. It's cool to see good people who are good get work, because so often, you know, I'm not going to get into this, but so often you see people that aren't so good that got a lot of work, and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So it's good to see good people get good work.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Watch Schultz Saves America.
No, let's talk about that.
Well,
because
just watch it, because it's great.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. But also, like. Yeah, the team that we had was unbelievable. Like, when I talk about the show, I say we. Like, we did this.
You do that often,
I had
which
a
I think
fucking,
is cool.
Because it's not me. I can't do that by myself.
Right.
Like, and I'm not trying to brag about the show when I say this, but to do what we did cannot be done by one person.
It'd be very, very hard.
Impossible.
Yeah, it'd be impossible.
To do that many jokes in that little amount of time, that much research, that much writing, like, all this... I'm going to get credit, obviously, because I'm fucking saying it.
Because your name, it's your show.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is like Mark Gagnon, Robbie Slovic, F.A. Ilguy, unbelievable contribution of time and like brilliance to making this happen. And then Miles McCreary is the guy who was cooking up our images.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, he would do the images for the YouTube. And I said, come up, we'll get you involved in this. And he was supposed to just be like a kind of liaison to the production company that was supposed to handle the images.
Right.
And I saw the first run of images from the production company, and I had a fucking blow up, like bad.
Like, no thanks.
Bad.
Yeah.
And this kid stepped in. I mean, he's just graduated like a year ago. He was filling pools up in Florida. He was filling pools with water. Yeah. Or like measure something. I don't know what his job is. It was something with pools.
Whatever.
But
pool
pools seem like they do what they do. Like, it's not a lot of work, right? So he could have done both jobs.
My pool guy comes for 6.5 minutes every time.
Is there water? Yeah. It's a pool.
Water's in the pool. And he takes off. Thank you. Yeah, that's it.
So, and then he comes, and then he ends up heading the graphic team.
Wow.
So all the guys were amazing, but like, yeah, Mark, Robbie killed it. FA's never done anything in entertainment. He's like, he's a lawyer in London, works for the Security Exchange Commission out there. Yeah. And he was just a really smart guy. And I thought we needed, the arguments that we make, we try to slice them so thin. I wanted something, he's like a funny guy, but I also wanted something almost pseudo-legal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does this make sense? Where's the hole?
Of course.
Is it impeachable? But they were so fucking funny, and they made it so great. And like, we're getting to a point in time where if you want to make the greatest content possible, you cannot do that by yourself. And if you try to do it by yourself, it's ego-driven.
Yeah.
And for me, the greatest ego is if we're putting together the content. That's to me the greatest satisfaction. Like, you can ask any of the guys, the best joke wins.
100%.
That doesn't have to be my joke.
No, right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, the best joke wins. And it takes a little bit to get everybody on the same page, to get them confident enough to say, yeah, I think we can do better when I pitch something.
Sure.
I need my guys to be able to look me in the eyes and go, we can beat that.
You don't want yes men. You don't want some guy going, it's great, Schultz, we're good. Because that guy wants to go home.
Every other monologue.
Right.
That's why they suck.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really
funny.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, because those people have families and they're like, I want to go home.
I want to go home. I need all of you invest in this like it's yours, because it's yours.
Right.
And when we talk about it, will be as if it's yours. Because that's the only way we're going to get not only maximum effort, because these guys have integrity, but just maximum quality.
Well, because otherwise we don't need to go over this like we have ad nauseum, you and I particularly, but like creating your own things, right? Whether it's this or me in the show with the Noodle Boy, you know, like we put in so much effort into making it something beautiful and fun and unique because if given the opportunity from a corporate network standpoint, I know that it's not in their best interest to bleed themselves out. They're like, well, it's on you, dude. Like, we gave you the opportunity.
Yeah, we went over the budget.
Right.
It's like, that just comes out of me.
Yeah, because you need to know that if they just go, it's fine, that you're like, fuck. If it's just fine, that's bad.
Yeah.
Because being in the fine space is what Hollywood has operated on for a long time.
No, we needed to, it needed to be a masterpiece. And I would tell them that. I'd tell Netflix that. And I got to give it up to Netflix. You know, I talked mad shit about Netflix, and they were incredibly supportive.
That's why they liked you so much.
Maybe.
Yeah. They liked the idea of someone that was like, oh, I'm going to break your system and I'm better than your system.
Yeah.
And now they won't, because they want to be able to go,
yeah,
what if we give you a lot of money?
We were better than their system.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was working. Yeah,
yeah,
it was working.
Netflix is putting Chappelle stuff up on Instagram.
So
not because of how unsuccessful I was.
I know.
you know what I mean? Like, that's where you put comedy.
Well, let's talk about that. That whole thing was interesting, because I've talked to a lot of people surrounding the situation. I don't want to get personal, but Chappelle about the Chappelle show online.
Whining?
Yeah, him talking about it online.
Him whining?
See, here's what's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Him acting like Scottie Pippen, not Michael Jordan.
You and I have this exact same opinion. And you already know it. When people were like, what do you think, man? It was brilliant. I was like, what? It's crazy. I love and respect the dude, but that's crazy to be like, by the way, you know what the
go, great, go, go,
I don't want to say, I don't want to say who told me this, but you know, just by when I say this,
okay.
This person goes, never mind the fact that all of the best sketches are already on YouTube. And I was like, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. And by the way, go look. They're all on YouTube. Everything you've ever wanted is already there.
This is the trickiest thing, because like I, as a creator, want Chappelle to own everything that he has.
Sure.
I want every creator to have the opportunity to own that.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to make the most money off everything you do, 100%. So I am on your side 100% in that regard. The way that he went about it was just a letdown to me, because I hold him to such high
esteem. Same.
Like, if I'm going to hold you to, he's not my Jordan, but like, let's say, for example, he's living Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
When you act like Scottie, it's embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling stories about you getting bullied over a joke.
Yeah.
He took my joke.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're worth tens of millions of dollars. You're the most successful comedian in the world. You are recognized as the GOAT around the world.
Right.
And you're crying about a guy taking your joke. Like, what? You had no success before the show.
Yeah.
Why do you deserve a deal? The network is taking all the risk. You have no success before. Everything's a flop.
Right.
Flop.
Yeah.
The specials, murder.
Right.
Specials don't make any money. We all know this.
They make nobody any money.
They literally lose money so they can make a TV show with you or a movie with you and make money.
That's why they do it.
Exactly, right? So, like, and you know this.
Right.
You do the You do the deal. It's the best show because you're fucking brilliant and your team is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
As well. You had a great cast of characters that were on that show that made it amazing as
well.
Phenomenal. Right? And you were absolutely brilliant. You make it amazing. The next deal is better. The next year literally is better.
Yeah.
And then you get the exact deal you want.
Yep.
Somebody tell me what's wrong here.
I don't get it.
And listen, I'm the guy who's like, fuck Comedy Central because they suck.
Right.
But in this situation, it doesn't seem crazy. Maybe they were meddling too much and then you have every right to leave. But like to go back and act as if you were owed something different, it just seems peculiar to me.
Well, here's the thing.
I want you to get it.
Yeah.
You went about it in a way that like where comics like us, where we look up to you and we aspire to be what you have, it lets us down because we're like, nobody likes a whiner.
Oh, particularly because like Comedy Central doesn't owe anybody anything anyway, because Comedy Central took a ton of shots with a lot of people, right?
Right.
Their whole goal was, in their heyday, was like, how many people can we take shots with that are going to maybe work out in the long run to develop a show with or something
else?
They
don't care about the art. Like, they did shows with Carlos Mencia. Like,
it means nothing. It's a corporation.
Yeah.
So they're like, how many shots can we take? And who can we... So when they funded the thing that they funded with this guy and Dave made something so iconic, it's like, well... They had to take the risk.
He had all the leverage.
Right.
And they paid him
exactly what they want. Exactly what he wanted. Yeah.
I just don't see how that team of people is evil.
Right.
Like,
I'll give you a good example.
Am I missing something?
No, I'll give you a good example.
Yeah. And then they took advantage of me over the contract. It's like, you already did a movie.
Right.
What are you talking about, advantage of the contract? Like, you have lawyers. You have agents. Like, you did the movie already.
By the way, behind closed doors, this deal could have been changed anyway. He could have been like, hey, man, you guys should give me a percentage of whatever DVD sales or blah, 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 blah. And it could have been changed.
My best faith assumption of Chappelle is that he did try to do that negotiation and they said no.
Yeah.
And I would rather that be told, because then I'd be like, well, fuck you, Viacom. The least you could do is, if you want to make some money on it, cut my man's in. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, like that to me would have been like way more honest.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it would have been. Yeah. But instead, it just felt like it was. It was very much a soapboxy thing. It's like, please don't watch Chappelle's show. Not for me. Just don't watch the show. And I was like. Yeah, but think about what that means for just the industry as a whole and all the people that are connected to that show. And it's like, just let the thing go. At some point, you're moving on, right? You don't go back to your old house like,
no, you got to keep.
What did you guys do to it?
Yeah, like, you got to keep pushing yourself and doing different things. I mean, like, I don't know.
And they're not changing the creative, by the way. It still remains what it is.
I think it was a bad move marketing-wise, but he's the best at marketing, so what the fuck do I know? But like, all these younger people, like people in their 20s, they just know him as the guy who says like really profound philosophical things.
I know.
They don't know him as funny. Like my, let's say like even younger than my little brother, don't think Chappelle is funny.
They think he's
brilliant.
Profound
and brilliant. Yeah. And if this philosopher, we know that he's the baddest motherfucker on the planet when he wants to be,
but they
don't.
Yeah.
And if you had those out there and get your money, I don't care. But if they were out there, all of a sudden these people who don't know him as funny would start being like, oh my God, he has the most amazing sketch show ever, and he's really profound.
Which is how we know him.
Exactly.
That's why we love him so much.
We sit there for 20 minutes and let him just talk to us without punchlines, because we're like, yeah, because he's the most funny guy in the world when he wants to be.
Right, right.
But they don't.
Right.
These kids are going, why is that drunk guy babbling? Right? They literally, I'm telling you, bro, they literally say that to me.
No, it's true. It does feel that. It's interesting
to see the reactions. Like, I'm sure when you talk about on the podcast, I have to tell people who listen to the podcast, watch your mouth when you're talking about him.
Right.
Because they don't know for what it's worth.
Right.
Do you know? They don't know killing him softly.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's all we know. That stays embedded in
us forever.
And
you
ever,
already
ever.
Won us, so you can't do nothing wrong.
Like, I remember how disturbed I was when he got buff. I was like, what? I was like let down when he got strong. For some reason, I was like, dude, you're the smartest, you're the quickest, you're the most brilliant, in-tune dude up here.
Yeah.
And when he got jacked, I was like, no! Something let me down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, that's all I have over you. It's my body. I ran 7 miles on a broken ankle.
Don't Piscopo me now, bro. Don't Piscopo me now. I mean, but anyway.
Piscopo. Do any of you know Joe Piscopo?
They don't know Joe. They don't. But by the way, if you're, you know what? I say stuff sometimes. I'm always like, some of my younger fans won't get it, mm-hmm. and they always comment the opposite. They're always like, "No, no, bro," because they are, the thing that we had our whole lives was the internet, but the thing that they grew with was the internet. Yeah, right? Like yeah. we learned the internet when yeah. we were in our teens.
They only know
it internet. Was birthed
yeah,
through them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I talk about young fans, and I'm always like, I don't know if you've heard of, you know, mm-hmm. Loot Pack or whatever, and I mentioned, and young fans are like, "Fuck you, bro! I know, I have, you know what I mean? Like, I yeah. know everything about them," and I'm like, "Oh." And they're like, "I'm 19. I'm like, "Oh shit, okay." Yeah. Like, it's a trip to know what they're above. They're quicker than we know.
It's not, yeah, it's not a lack of quickness, but it's like, if you're curious, it's so easy to get information now.
Yeah.
Like when we were curious back in the day, we had to, I know this sounds crazy, but like we had to buy a book.
Yeah,
we had to go to Barnes & Noble.
Buy a book.
And buy a book. And then read about Costa yeah, Rica. I right. remember like, or sometimes like if I was going to go on a vacation or something like that, like mm-hmm. I would go to Barnes & Noble and I'd buy Lonely Planet.
Yes.
Sometimes I wouldn't even buy it. I'd just like sit there and like look around and like peel through the pages. Yeah. And like, "Oh, this is really cool to do in Costa Rica."
Right.
Costa Rica, Google. Everything yeah. that you could
everything
possibly
ever
do.
Not, yeah.
Four vlogs of people who went to Costa Rica. It's
What's
amazing.
Up? It's me. I'm back in Costa Rica. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how we used to consume information?
It's also how we used to, like no joke, I talked to a friend recently about when I first moved to the city, and I used to have to use this thing called a Thomas Guide, which was a map of the city, because I was a delivery boy, and you'd have to be like B6, yeah, yeah, yeah. and I'd follow it, and then I'd be like, "Fuck,
Thomas,
and it's cut off."
Thomas McCann or something, or was it
Thomas Mc? What's the last name?
It's not McCann.
No, Thomas? It's McKinnon, or
something like that. But yet,
I don't want to look it up. Fuck it, I don't want to look it up.
There was an actual
map in my car. Yeah, it was a ring bound map that I had to go through, and I had deliveries, and I would go to. Famous people's houses. Do you know how? And it was also degrading because I'd get lost on the map mm-hmm. going to a house because the hills, bro. This mm-hmm. isn't New York. Mm-hmm. New York is on a grid. You'd be an idiot if you can't figure out New York. You're the yeah. dumbest person on earth. When someone's like, "I don't know how to get there," I'm like, "What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm lost.
It couldn't be easier. Like,
can you count?
Right? You know this way and that way." But for here, I was going up in the hills. I'm 23 years old, and yeah. I'm like, panic and confused because it's a left or right and a bag and a yeah, yeah. and I would have to thumb through this fucking yeah, map yeah, yeah. Now it's a dashboard make a left yeah. on Trumbull Street, you know yeah. I like those days. I remind me of like, look, we're not that old, but when I think about that, I go, we're getting older for sure.
But aren't we lucky that we were born in the transition period?
Yes, because, thank God.
Yeah, because then we get to appreciate
yep.
technology.
Yeah, like, yeah, because I've got a young uncle who he's just old enough where
a young uncle?
Yeah, my youngest uncle.
How does that?
My mom's youngest brother
is
he's only 9 years old, 10 years older.
Oh,
than
but
me.
He's older than you. I thought it was like yeah. some Latino.
No, no. No, Santino's Italian. Not
no,
not,
I know. No, I'm not. But I was like, something's going
yeah,
on. Over
yeah,
here.
No. Okay. Yeah, my 6 year old uncle and my 40 year old grandfather. No. But he's young, and he was like my older brother. But yeah. he's just outside enough of the range of that where I see how it frustrates him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah,
just
yeah.
off of it.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
He's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't know how to fuck it. I don't know how to fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
that sucks.
Yeah.
We were right in the step of it.
We know how to do it, but we're still baffled by it.
Well, they're way better than us. I mean, my sister's 10 years younger than me, and she's tremendously better than me.
Yeah. Because they're fluent. It's a language.
Right.
They literally are comfortable with
speak
these
computer.
Apps. Yeah, they speak it.
Yeah, they speak computer.
It's
kind
of like stand-up. Like, you know, after you're doing stand-up for like a decade, you start to be like, oh, I know it's supposed to be funny here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
dude, I know.
It's
that
a language.
Feeling.
You start
yeah.
to like, dude, I swear, even when we were doing the show, we would be in the room, we'd be writing, right? And mm-hmm. and this is how we would speak to each other. Yeah, it's dun 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 dun.
Right.
We wouldn't even have words yet, but we knew
the rhythm
that
of it.
Is the rhythm. It has to be at that. Like, this is like nerdy comedy shit that like just maybe we and a few people care about.
They
but like
it. Yeah.
They like they're into
yeah.
it. But like, that's how. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's kind of like how fluent we start to get. Where we go. Nah, that word is too long.
You know, it bothers
it needs
me
to be
so
sharper,
much.
Yeah,
it bothers me when I see another friend of mine tell a joke that's too much.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
oof,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
right there. Just. Yeah. Just yeah. get the fat right out of it.
Yeah.
The older generation is even way better than us even. You know, we mentioned Colin before the show. Colin Quinn's one of the best guys at cutting fat. Mm. Like, he just slices fat right out.
Mm.
He's like, get all this fucking fat gone.
Yeah, it's so quick. It's so brilliant.
Which is what I'm jealous of.
Yeah.
I'm trying now to, like, as I write nowadays, to slice out bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why is this so much filler and nonsense?
Yeah.
They know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't need to do this
over-described show. Hold
setup
tell.
For the yeah. No. No, it does. It's not worth it.
Colin you know? Said something really profound. It was at one of those, like, you know, the Montreal... what is it, like a State of the Union or some shit? Not the one Andy Kindler does.
Okay. I was going to say, Kindler's is called State of the Industry or whatever.
Yeah, it was one of like a speech he was given. Thank you.
Yep.
And he said, if you cut too much fat, you lose the flavor.
Oh, that's so good.
And like, I thought it was kind of fire because, you know, these like joke nerds, which might have great jokes.
Yeah.
But there's no flavor. Like, it doesn't come from their heart or their soul at all.
Some guys can write a phenomenal joke, but it doesn't feel like there's anything there.
There's no soul.
Right.
And, like, having soul, like, for me, like, soul is the most important thing. Like, the connectivity, the lizard connectivity between an audience sometimes is, like, Chris Farley never told a joke in his life. Right. Like, that's the funniest motherfucker. Like, he just oozes funny.
Yeah.
He can look funny.
Right.
He can walk. It's just funny. So it's like, sometimes we try to be so pinpoint with our, like, robotic with our words, and then we lose that fucking flavor, bro.
That's true. And you know what happens is, I think something to take heed of is, as people get successful, they have a tendency to take themselves more serious, which loses the funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all victims of it.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Like, we have to continue, like, look, you're a rocket ship, dude. You're a shooting rocket ship. You are taken off as you deserve and as you know and as you feel. And on the way, you just have to remember that, like, well, comedy is the only thing about this that matters. Do you know what I mean?
Dude, when we were
all doing, the other shit is going to get in the way.
So funny. When we were doing the pieces originally on Instagram, like a lot of these what we did on Netflix started on Instagram.
Yeah, turn your phone.
Yeah, turn your phone, right? And the YouTube, right?
Which, by the way, I thought it was going to be called Turn Your Phone.
You know,
at first, I thought it was going to be, I thought, when you put it out, I thought this should be called Turn Your Fucking Phone.
Yeah, yeah,
because people would be like, why is it called Turn Your Phone? It's on the TV. It's like, that's great. It's great. Turn your phone.
It would be fire.
And but by the way, you need a copyright Turn Your Phone.
I got to get it. I got it.
Yeah, you need to.
You see the fake North Face shirts we put out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to get you with it.
Dude, your fashion.
Fashion.
I know your fashion, Papa. Go ahead. Get back. You were saying.
Wait, what were we saying? It was, when we were doing the pieces. Mm-hmm. What were we saying about it, though? I forgot. Doesn't matter.
I was saying that you're, as you grow and as the success, when we were doing the
pieces,
sometimes.
The pieces were like, they were like poignant and really like thoughtful because like we wrote them to be that, right?
Right.
And like, that's not how I speak normally. Like, I just fucking bust balls. Mm-hmm. But if I really want to, like, sit down with my guys and put pen to paper, like, we can put together something really interesting. Just like if you want to sit there and, like, write a serious, like, thoughtful statement about something, you can do that.
Right.
And that's not, like, if you're going to write a wedding speech, it's going to be different than how you speak now. So I started feeling a little bit like, wait a minute, do I have to know absolutely everything about every conversation I have? And I remember, like, on the pods for a little bit, I felt that responsibility. And then I was like, no, you're a guy.
Yeah.
You like busting balls. This is fun. When you go put that hat on, when you go to work, when you lay some fucking drywall, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, you can be a person still. Like, stop taking yourself so fucking seriously.
Yeah, you have to.
I had to. Exactly what you're saying. I had to check myself and just be like, dude, like, it's not that important. No. It's comedy at the end of the day.
Yes.
It's fucking be funny.
But that's the thing is when you start to lose that is when I get worried about people.
Some people don't check themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't. Need something, someone, either a person or a thing, or there needs to be a thing that goes, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. Otherwise, you're crying about a $50 million contract that you were offered by Comedy Central.
That's what I'm saying. Like, truth be told, I loved Eddie Murphy more than I loved any comic when I was a kid. I thought Eddie Murphy was wildly, like, but to a degree of, like, I thought he was the most brilliant comedic actor I had ever seen in my entire life, too. I was like, this dude is an enigma. He was there. He was beyond. And Eddie, at some point, got so famous that he had to kind of go away. He just, like, reclused. And that's his opinion, it's his choice.
Yeah.
But I think he like lost a little bit of the shine then you lose the pop. You lose like the, we love you, dude. Like we don't need you to go to Malibu. Need to go away.
That's why you need the homies. Like not to bring it full circle, but like you need your friends that you grew up with that don't give a fuck that you got a Netflix deal or you're in Beverly Hills Cop or none of that shit. Like they've seen you in your most vulnerable, embarrassing moments. You know what I mean? And that's who you are to them.
Yeah.
And you've seen them in that and everything is squashed.
Right.
And that's like the reality check. Also like having, like you got a wife, you know, I got a fiance. It's like having that person that don't give a fuck if it's, you have a special or a YouTube video does nothing. Well, like, it's like, are we getting married in next summer? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that, yeah. I think is
helpful. Babe, we got so many views. Bro, it's like, yeah, but okay, you take out the trash.
She's just like, oh, this
how about
is,
the views?
This is nice.
Yeah.
but you know what's funny about Eddie? It's like, I love Eddie too.
Yeah.
Like so much. We had a joke in the special about Eddie, right? And we said news channels popped up like Eddie Murphy watching Juana Man.
Yeah.
Right? Juana Man is, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a movie about a guy who pretends to be a girl and plays in the WNBA.
And you must watch it because it is comedy to the max of ridiculousness.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
And
it's
Eddie
great.
Obviously picked up the trans chick.
Right.
Right. So I hold Eddie to such esteem, bro. In the picture, he's got a boner, right?
Yeah.
And the Juana Man is on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I put Vivica A. Fox's character instead of the guy who plays Juana Man because I love Eddie so much. I'm like, I can't do it. The joke works.
Yeah.
You just see the jersey.
The image, you can't kill him.
But if you zoom into the image, you'll see it's Vivica A. Fox. And it's he'd be fine with that. But that's how much I love Eddie.
You didn't want to hurt him that bad.
Yes. I don't. And that's, yeah.
That's because of...
That's the guy, man. That's the guy.
Yeah. He's the... Look. One of the greatest of all time, but that is one of those things where you're like, at sometimes in comedy we all shit on each other, but you want to do it where it's not.
If that's just my personal thing,
yeah.
Like, but also sometimes I'm throwing people in there that like it's a joke on purpose. You know, like Bobby's in there. I think you're in some pictures. Like,
yeah.
And it's like all my guys, I try to put in pictures because I know that. When we all see it, it's like, oh, okay, that's the boys.
It's
like
fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of the shit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's part of the shit.
Like, this is the Rat Pack. Like,
right.
Maybe people realizing don't know, like, watching don't know just yet, but, like, what we've created is the same vibe that people would watch back in the day. They would just watch these people exist. Every time they put out a movie, none of those motherfuckers could act, but they just want to see them exist.
Right.
That's what podcasts are.
Right.
Right? It's just like, I don't know, we're welcoming them into our world, and like for me to do that and be able to like, you know, throw little, you know, lobs at the guys, like,
right.
That was cool.
Tell me this. Yeah. Have you had so far, I asked you before, we didn't get into it a little bit. Have you had some hate come your way, but that you liked?
Yeah, like
that you enjoyed the
hate? On purpose. Like we our whole thing, like you could tell they don't watch the whole thing because we literally describe how media works in the fourth episode.
By the way, none of them watch the whole thing.
I know, it's so funny.
They don't watch it.
It's so funny. I got somebody said to me, they're like, how does a George Soros' pee taste? Like as if I'm kissing his dick or something like that.
Somebody
said
that?
Yeah. And I'm like, we have a whole thing where we just rip apart George Soros. So it's like, you're not even watching, right?
Right.
But we know they're not going to watch. So the fourth episode, we describe how media works, how like no-name bloggers blog something, a legit news outlet will take that as if it's a real story, mm-hmm. and they'll talk about it.
Yep.
And then the bloggers will respond to the real story, and then they make a story out of nothing.
Yep.
Literally, I'm watching this happen, which is what I want,
right?
Because that's how you promote comedy.
Yeah, you're fishing.
People being outraged,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I could go on the fucking day, the morning show, whatever. What is it called? Kathy Loda?
Your morning show, I think.
Whatever.
I
could do that shit to promote it, or I could let these idiots say it's too outrageous, and how can Netflix put this on? And then everybody goes, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And they do it, but what's shocking to me is like, did you not realize you're doing what I said you're going to do?
Yeah.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Whisk Ginge fans, I know this holiday season, you're going to drink responsibly, but you're going to have some fun, okay? Which I like to do as well, but I don't like feeling like blech the next day. Here's how to fix it. No Days Wasted is here to help you maximize life's moments. DHM Detox, I've talked about it before. It's a vitamin for people who like to enjoy their drinks, just like the Red Rocket do. Enjoy your holiday drinks this year and get back to doing what you love the next day without feeling awful. All right, most people think that next day, oh, I didn't drink enough water, I don't know what I had. It doesn't matter, okay? What really matters is you need vitamins flushed back into your body to feel better once again. Forget the Sunday scaries and feeling like garbage. Take two capsules after your first couple of drinks and it goes to work. DHM Detox uses science to help boost your body's natural response to alcohol and help break down those toxins. That's what's in your blood. You got to get rid of the toxins, okay? Drink water as well, but also get some stuff in there to take care of them toxins, some vitamins. New Year's is just around the corner. We want to forget 2020 ever happened. So stay prepared for all life's festivities so you can get 2021 off to feeling great. Check out their holiday bundles with DHM Detox and Hydration Replenisher, their electrolyte drink mix that just launched. It's delicious. It's awesome. I have it at the crib. I love it. This stuff is really, really good. No days wasted. Offers a risk-free purchase. If you don't love it, they'll refund you your money on the first box. No brainer. Try it out. If you like to have a couple of sips of the old sauce, this is worth your time and money. I've got you 20% off your first order and free shipping in the U.S. Head over to nodayswasted.co/whiskey. That's nodayswasted.co/whiskey. Use promo code whiskey at checkout. That's nodayswasted.co/whiskey for 20% off. Guys, how many times have you said to your significant other, I had a long day at work, I'm just not feeling it, I'm just too tired. Look, it's not easy to talk to your partner about erectile dysfunction, but I'm going to talk about it right now. If you have this problem, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. It's easy to take care of. It's not embarrassing. It's not a big deal. And it's easy to discuss and treat ED with Roman. Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing healthcare for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own house. You don't have to go anywhere. Don't have to feel uncomfortable in a waiting room, staring at other people. Are they staring at you, filling out unnecessary paperwork with someone else's dirty pen that some other guy had chewed on earlier in the day? A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and medication is appropriate. If it is, Roman is going to ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. All right? The whole process is straightforward. It's simple. It's discreet. Getting started is so easy. Go to GetRoman.com/whiskey and complete an online visit. No more going to doctor's offices to feel weird about something you shouldn't feel weird about. Millions of men deal with it. It's not a big deal. You want to get the red rocket boosted again? Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now Roman gonna help you out. Complete it online. Visit today with a doctor. Connect. Take care of it, guys. Not that big of a deal. Get the rocket revving again. Go to GetRoman.com/whiskey to get $15 off your first order for ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. Free, free, free. A lot of frees in there, okay? That's GetRoman.com/whiskey for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/whiskey, $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/whiskey. Hey, 2020 was a weird year, okay? It really, really was. A lot of people had a lot of mental health issues, and people don't like to address it. I've talked about it very openly on this show. I have mental health issues, and I deal with them. And one of the ways that I suggest people deal with these things, if you're starting out looking for a way to begin this process, use Headspace. Headspace is incredible. It's a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations. It's an easy to use app. If you've never heard of it or never seen it, please try it out. It is incredible. It's the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically evaluated research. Okay? Research. They've done the research. Whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. A quick and easy way to get recentered and get yourself lined up. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Look, I've used Headspace. It's so simple to use. It's an easy app. And the guided meditation really does kind of balance you out. I like meditating in the morning. I like stretching, something to start my day off on the right foot. And Headspace is a great way to do that. I really, really do enjoy it. And I couldn't recommend it more, it's particularly if you're dealing with the downs of this year. It makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice from the mindfulness that works with you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere, you guys. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is a meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/whiskey. That's headspace.com/whiskey for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. It's incredible, you guys. I couldn't recommend it enough. This is the best deal offered right now. Go to headspace.com/whiskey today.
I like gingers.
Before they even get to the point of really inspecting it to see if they dislike it or like it,
yeah,
they've already made up their mind. I'll give you a good example. We just started a new television show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not going to tell you.
Can you say that, what
nah,
it is? Can you talk about it?
I know someone associated to it. I know someone that it's their show.
Okay.
So, long story short,
yeah,
I started it, and I was like, it's fucking terrible. It's terrible.
You're in it.
No. I know someone it's their show.
You said, we just started a new show. You're watching
We're watching it.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's terrible.
You're a professional actor. I'd just like to let you know. So when you say we started a new show,
I think
you're continuing
to
be
I'm on a
famous.
Show. I'm yeah. on a different show.
Yes, correct.
And yeah. and that, whatever. But yeah. no, I started a new show and it's a friend's show. It's a friend show. And I was like, it's terrible. Yeah. And then I'm sitting on the couch with the old lady and I'm like, what do people say about this? And I made the mistake of even looking online. People love it.
No.
And I was like, this goes to show you, though, when I read what they wrote, they didn't watch it. They love who's a part of
they
it.
They love the idea of
yes. Of it. Yeah, and yeah, I was yeah, like, this yeah, is yeah. bullshit.
What's the show? Can you say what it is?
Nah.
Is it, do I know?
Yeah.
Well?
It's popular right now.
Chess Woman?
No, that one's good.
That one's kind of lit.
No, I like that show.
But how fucked up
Queen's
is
Gambit
it?
Is good.
They need to invent a woman who is good at chess.
Right.
Right. It's not like they could look back into history and be like, yo, this chick was just busting all these dudes' asses at chess. They had to make it up.
They had to make it
That's
up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is bonkers. I love that show, though. That girl was great.
She's
she was
a beast.
Wild.
She's a beast.
She was wildly good, man. The black chick was actually so good, and they didn't use her enough.
I didn't get into that episode. Oh, the girl who was in the, like...
Mm-hmm. She comes back.
Oh.
But I loved her. Later, I was like, why didn't this girl come around more often?
They'll bring her back for season two, if there is one.
I think it's a limited series, right? Those are one of those things I think...
God
I don't
bless.
Know.
I'm okay
are you,
with that.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Are you... do you want to snake over to TV shit or no?
No, I hate acting.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I do want to make a film. I want to do, like, an Ocean's 11... I will make like an Ocean's 11, 12, 13. I will make that type of film.
Really?
Yeah. One of these days. I'm
and
not
mean,
sure when.
And you mean that in reference because you like a franchise or do you mean in the sense of like...
Literally the way that those characters...
Like
that's
best,
a podcast.
Best friends. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
About, literally that film is a podcast.
Yeah.
And I want to make that film because I think that what we've curated and kind of built on our own... Mm. Is, I mean, obviously with the help of each other, but like is really special. And I think there's a lot of people who would like to see us exist within these worlds.
Yeah.
And like creating these hijinks and a story that's driven and we're bad guys, but we're kind of good. Like we're thieves, but you know, not us, but like they're thieves, but they're robbing worse people. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone likes to see the rich get robbed.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to see the rich get robbed. By the way,
we'll make that.
Ironically enough, or coincidentally enough, I say this quote all the time to my old lady. We were walking the dog last night. And we were having a little drink, just walking around the neighborhood. And
how could you not want to be married? Like, these single guys are such losers, right? Like oh, I crush puss all the time. Yeah. It's like, don't you want to walk the dog with a glass of wine
and have a drink, man?
Am I getting old? That like,
no, it's great to me, bro.
This
I,
is the
combo
you have.
It.
Like, she'll be like, you got to walk the dog when we go home. You're like, you want to walk with me? She's like, fine. You're like, yeah.
Well, now it's our escape. But I said to her, we always do like. We'll always do like little movie quotes if they're inserted in our conversation that like make sense of stuff that we love. And I always say that quote because she said she was talking about something emotional that meant something to her. And I inserted, I said, does he make you laugh, Tess? And she says, no, he doesn't make me cry, Danny. And that's my favorite line. That's my favorite line from that movie was when she says that to
Julia Roberts is talking to George Clooney.
It was so smooth the way and I'd say that to my wife sometimes. I'll go, well, did he make you laugh, Tess? Because she'll be like, it was so funny. I'm like, did he make you laugh, Tess? She'll go, well, he doesn't make me cry, Danny. And I'm always like, I know. And also what she's saying is, because you're an asshole sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that's her digging at me personally outside of me making the movie quote joke.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of my favorites because it speaks volumes. He doesn't make me cry, Danny.
Yeah. As he slipped like, that cell phone in her pocket. Gotcha, bitch.
Gotcha, bitch! Such a good movie, man.
Dude, like, all of them are great.
I know.
Mean, and it's just a hang.
Yeah.
And how, you're crazy. If you look at me right now and you're telling me that we couldn't recreate that vibe and
well,
energy.
Here's the problem. I mean, you're right. And here's the problem. Hollywood is so caught up.
No, we're financing it. We're
no, I know,
it.
I know, yeah, I know. Like, I'm saying, but I'm saying why this doesn't exist as much anymore.
Yeah.
It's because Hollywood is so caught up with China. China's in their pocket, right? China owns Hollywood. People on the
Fuck
outside
China.
World, people on the outside world might not understand what I'm saying, but
yeah.
The Chinese basically finance and own most of Hollywood. So most of these movies, particularly now why all of these action movies are so popular and why it's just...
And they all just happen to go to China in the action movie. You ever watch a Transformers movie where like...
China.
They just happen to be in China for a few minutes,
We're in
right?
China, yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
That's odd.
China, the Chinese financiers and the Chinese market is basically controlling what these major movies do. And people will say, that's crazy talk and you're out of your mind, but...
They bought like 50% of AMC or something.
It's happening. It's happening.
I think they bought half of AMC.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Dude, they own a lot of property.
Yeah,
in that space.
Yeah.
So anyway, the reason is these kind of films don't really translate internationally. That one, yes, because George Clooney and Brad Pitt are movie stars. But I'm saying to make a new version with young people is why it's hard.
But low key, I don't want it to be.
No, you make an indie.
You
make an indie. You
know what I want it to be?
Huh?
I want it to be Swingers.
That's what I'm saying. You make an indie. You have to make an indie. You have to go with the most ground root level crew and production company, people that are like, look, this isn't going to be the international sales icon. It's not. We're not going to sell it to China and Italy and Japan.
But it's going to be a cultural landmark.
But we should do that. More films should be focused on selling tickets in America.
No, that's the special is called Schultz
in saves America.
America.
I know.
That's home team.
Yeah.
That's who I care the most about.
Right.
I'm grateful when people in other countries listen and are cool and are really appreciative of the comedy.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. These are my people here.
Right.
We're talking shit about us. Yeah. Like, right. Which is why I get annoyed when you have like the Olivers and the Noahs and shit like coming over here. It's like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Why do you really care?
No, it's about
making
money.
You want cheddar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then stop trashing half the country when you just want money.
Right.
Like Alabama's a punchline to you.
Right.
You've never been to Alabama.
No, they just like to say, because everyone sounds like this, they automatically go, well, he's a hick.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dummy, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, no, that's, I think Burr said this a while ago. Burr was talking about that. He's like, if I hear one more foreign asshole
I'm a
talk show about, he goes,
how stupid.
We get the shit on us.
That's it, bro.
We are shitting on us. It's our saying. Shit.
So, same with the, what's it called? The Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. I hate
God,
him.
I love you.
He sucks. The guy, he used to be a really funny. We all liked it. It was super low brow. Like yeah. You're 12 years old. You see a guy like do the dumbest, the easiest joke possible.
The Borat shit.
Yeah, it's the easiest joke possible, but you're brave, so we let you do it. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he's on the fucking Golden Globes or one of these stupid award shows going like, I use my comedy to expose hatred and bigotry and his like stupid British accent. And then I'm like, oh my God, is this guy taking himself seriously?
Yeah.
He has like Stop Hate for Profit is on his Twitter. You do it for a living.
Right. It's how you got famous.
Literally.
It's how you got famous.
You take advantage of kind Americans who let you in their home.
Mm-hmm.
They let a stranger in their home.
Right.
And you make them look stupid.
Yep.
And then when they sue you, you let the lawyers handle it.
Yep.
You cuck. You don't handle that shit at all. And then you make millions of dollars off it.
Yeah.
And it drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Beat it. You don't like it here? Beat it.
Get out.
Nobody asked you to come here and tell us we're racist. We know we're racist.
That's why we came here. So we could be racist.
It's like, what does he think he's exposing? He's like, America's gonna have some racist and sexist. Really?
No.
You don't say.
Get out of town, pal.
Just these people, man.
Well, that is the one thing that I said over the years, the thing that I found disingenuous that became about Hidden Camera and all that stuff.
Yes.
Was Hidden Camera used to be we're doing this thing because
you come from Hidden Camera.
Yeah, I did it with Punk'd is where we started. You were fucking with people out of love because we were fucking with you with someone that knew you.
That knew you. It was your boy playing a prank on you.
Yeah.
And then it turned into
we're all fucking making you look like an asshole.
Some random person that you don't even like you didn't ask for this.
No. That's
it's
what
kinda
bothered
cruel.
Me. It's so the line broke for me there. Like and I stopped and I never wanted to do it again. And like I just got to a point when I saw all of it online go from this genuine place of like, you fuck with your friends to I fuck with people to make them look dumb.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's the beginning of the end of it. Because it used to have some, it used to have some kind of like
heart
to it. Yeah.
It was the most heart.
Yeah. And then it
someone
became
you loved.
Right.
And then you're seeing them vulnerable.
Fuck you. You're a moron. Can I convince you to, can I give you $600 and you'll let me put this on TV or on? That's when I was like, I don't want to ever be associated with this shit ever again. Like I wrote a pilot. We wrote this pilot and it was, can you help me get out of this? That was the idea. All the sketches were, could you help me get out of this? Which was great. So they didn't look stupid. Our actors looked stupid, right? It was like, I did something fucking awful. Can you help me?
Oh my God.
So
you're running to some person, you got like somebody's severed hand.
Yes.
And you're like, help me.
It's more like one of the bits was in a hotel, there's a wedding in one of the banquet halls, right? And one of the guys had shit himself and he had come out and he was like in the middle of the hotel and these guests are just checking in. And as they're being led to the elevator, this man's like, I just shit myself in the middle of my brother's wedding. And do you have any pants in your suitcase? Like, do you have any pants in your...
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, like, it's a simple, stupid bit, but like, it's funny to watch somebody have a conversation with you about, well, should we give this guy my pants? Because
instead of going, look how horrible Americans are, it's look how sweet
right.
and kind
yes.
the average human being is.
Yeah.
When somebody is in desperate need of something,
right.
we will help. It will be weird,
but we'll
it
help.
Will be gross, but eventually we'll help.
Right, that's what it was. And so, and like what we would do is then we drag him in. It, like a guy gave the guy a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
And he was like, will you come in with me?
Yes.
And he was like, why do you want me to go in there? He's like, because it feels weird that I like ran out for no reason. They don't know, da, 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 da. And you know, we have these actors, sucker, and people would come
this
in.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it was just, and then
this
you're,
is great.
Then you're a part of the world.
Yeah.
And it was less about, don't you look stupid? The whole joke was, we continually said that when we were writing, it was like, help, please help me. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And so our people looked dumb. And then you looked like, you know, we're basically, we're just tricking you to be in on the fun with us.
Yeah.
Right. But it was never like a, you did this.
We exposed how nice you are.
Right. Yeah. Right. We exposed that you're viable enough to get into a situation where somebody looks vulnerable and stupid.
Yeah.
And it's all and over funny.
Yeah.
But I, after that, I got offered a few jobs to do other stuff and I had to quit because I was like, I don't want to ever make some guy
feel like shit
and then be like, we're going to give you $1,000.
Yes.
And by the way, they need $1,000.
So they're willing to look like a racist in front of everybody.
Yes, because they need the fucking money. That's when it kind of ends, when you're like, that's it. The fun died.
It's not even real at that point. Because paying.
Right. You paid them.
Yeah.
You made them sign. They had to sign because it's, you know what I mean? Like, you made them sign so we could show your face and all. Speaking of which, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Maybe I'm dumb.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's not weird that like you come to America specifically for greed.
Mm-hmm.
Greed,
mm-hmm.
gluttonous greed.
Yeah.
I need more money. And then if you feel like you can criticize anyone.
Yeah.
That's weird, no?
That's very weird.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah, it's very weird. It's very weird.
Your dream is not to talk about American politics. Like you have politics. Everybody has politics.
Right.
It's money.
Yeah.
Truffle pig. Just a truffle pig, and then you feel like you could judge anyone.
Yeah,
it's so odd.
Well, that's where people lose me in general is when it's like, if you get to a point, like you know what's weird? You know how people talk shit about Sandler? You know, like the guys will say like, I don't even like his comedy, and I'm like, bro,
you're lying,
bro. First of all, here's a guy who brought all of his friends along for the ride, whether you like the movies or not, and all he did was create a community and have a great time and loved it the whole fucking way. Sandler, to me, is the answer because he got away from it. He was like, I'm not involved myself in the Hollywood bullshit. I'm going to make money and movie with my friends, and it's all going to be for fun.
Yeah. Like, that's what Rogan did with podcasting, Sandler did with movies,
yeah.
And literally, those two guys, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Make shit with your friends, and then everyone can say whatever the fuck they want. It's like, we still get to keep making shit.
Yeah.
So,
and have like really talented friends that you respect. And that's often why you'll become friends, because you realize that you guys both have the same kind of like respect and standards for content and comedy. Yeah. I just think it's great.
Are you guys now that you're doing, your studio is full on now, are you going to be making shows for other people? Is that
no,
the future?
I personally don't think I have the bandwidth to do it. I have like an advertising agency that I've partnered with, so like we sell ads for myself and like the other podcasts and you know some other pods as well, so that is just like another kind of like I guess side business, but I don't really manage that much,
right?
You know what I mean? But I have like my guys that are doing that. But for me, as far as the pods, I would just rather, like, if there's somebody I think is really good, just give them looks and like go
be like, yo, here.
Yeah. And I'll just call them. I'll be like, listen, you need to fix this thing or try to get this in your studio or blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just for me what I'd like to do. Because I know that it requires time.
It
requires
a lot of
fucking time. And I don't have that. And I'm going to half-ass it if I try to do it. And I don't want to half-ass someone else's like dream. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then tell me this. What's the future of you with specials now? Are you going to start doing Netflix shit, or are you going to keep doing it on your own?
So I have a special that's going to come out when we can go out and tour again.
On Netflix?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We made a deal. This is before all this.
Mm-hmm.
With a network.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got some notes I didn't like. So, you know, with all due respect, I don't like the notes.
Yeah.
So we have to see where that goes.
So hard to give notes on comedy.
That's what I respect about Netflix.
I tried to explain that to a guy the other day.
It's not even on the comedy. It's just like, this is offensive. We don't punch down type shit. And I was just like, you knew what you were getting in business with. You're a sweet guy and you really love it. I can tell, but I understand everybody's got to answer to other people. That's totally fine.
Yep.
But you know, now we're in a situation where we can kind of pick and choose a bit.
Yeah.
And we're going to choose whatever does the best thing for the piece of content.
Yeah.
Whatever is most true. I put out that stand-up special, and then we're going to see what happens, man. It's wide open. We're going to do that movie in a little bit. Maybe that's a few years.
Yeah.
That's a few years, but that will be really fun for us. Like, that's the type of thing where we're going to show up, and you've done so much more acting than me, so you can speak volumes to this, but, like, acting is often so boring.
Yeah.
But when it's miserable. Fun, it can be fun.
No, it's very fun, but it's also a lot of work. It's shitty, yeah.
It can be just, ugh.
Yeah.
But, like, when you have someone who's just like, yo, can you guys just go try to have the most fun?
Yeah.
Then I think we're in a good place, and I think when we do that, that's a few years from now, but like I think that world, and then literally all I want to do after that is just do big projects less. So like every 2 years we do one of those Oceans movies.
Yes.
Maybe we do a yearly wrap up every year, like maybe a special every 2 years, but in the opposite of the movie or something. Just big, but not as much constant content.
Right.
And then build up my guys. You know, I want Mark to have his own shows, and whatever he wants to do, I'll support. And the same thing with Akash and all these guys and Robbie.
I'm going to say one of Mark's jokes. And I'm not going to do it justice, so I'm not trying to say that. But I told him how much it made me laugh so hard.
Which one?
When he said, and this is, dude, this is, how, you know how crazy this is? This was before the pandemic.
That's right.
He was out in LA and he goes.
At the factory, we were all there.
Yes, and he goes, and this is Mark's joke. This is not my joke, I'm just saying. But I told him how much I loved it when he said, I see all these Asian people with masks on. It's like, we get it, you're a doctor, like, stop rubbing it in. That was like such a good joke, bro. And also now how crazy the relativity of it all is so wild,
dude.
He is very, very funny, dude. He's very funny, dude.
Oh, he's great. He said something in that same joke, it's something like,
we get it, you're a doctor.
Yeah, you know, he said something about like the girl, like I went on one of these blind dates with this Asian chick, mm-hmm. and I got what's the term, you know, when they don't look exactly like the koi fish.
He's so funny.
He's great, man.
Hey, so tell me, you're on a new level right now of success. Have you spent some money dumb? Have you done something dumb?
I don't.
You haven't done it yet?
I'm taking a nice vacation, an expensive vacation.
That's not it.
But I haven't bought a thing that's dumb. I spent stupid money on my girl's ring.
Yeah, that but that but again, I just don't. That doesn't count to me.
I agree with you.
That and vacations, because I'm like, those are a thing in life that's
experiential.
It's worth all of it.
Yeah, I don't need a lot, bro. I mean that sincerely. Like, I want to be able to take care of my family.
But I can't wait to call you when you do some dumb shit.
When I do some dumb shit, you'll be the first person I call.
I can't wait to be like, bro, what did you do?
Can I tell you something? I almost bought a Ferrari.
Okay? You did? See, this is what I mean.
But I didn't buy it. But I was watching Drive to Survive on Netflix, the F1,
the F1
reality
racing
show, right? Okay, and I'm like, ooh, this is fun. And I started watching it, and I was like nonstop watching it. It was during Ramadan. I remember this specifically. Right. And we were all locked down and everything like that. Yeah. And I was watching it, and I was like, I think I need a Ferrari. Like, I just need that. Like, and I started justifying it to myself. I was like, babe, you know, it's like rappers. It's like marketing. Like, I can take pictures in front of it.
True. This is all true.
Like, you're not getting a Ferrari. Like, what are you talking about? And I literally started looking up Ferraris, dude.
What would you have bought? What would you have bought? Did you see one that you liked?
I was thinking of getting, because it's much cheaper, but still fire. Remember when we were younger, there was that video game like Cruising USA like that?
Yeah.
I think it's a Ferrari you drive in that. There was some video game with a Ferrari.
Yeah,
you drive.
Cruising USA is there was a Ferrari. Yeah, it's probably a Testarossa is probably what it was.
97 or 96. I can even look it up.
I want to say it was.
Give me one. Sorry, everybody. Hold on. Here.
No, it's a Ferrari Testarossa. I was right. I guessed it right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that one right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Ferrari
it's
Testarossa.
What? 90 something.
Well, the Testarossa was a few years, but 96 was the last year I think they made them.
Okay, so you're a car guy. You really know.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so.
Because you know who had one of these?
Ooh.
MJ.
God bless.
23 had a Testarossa. By the way.
God bless.
By the way, his Testarossa.
What was the license plate?
Wait, because I know. Because they're different ones for everyone. Because he had a yellow F430.
Same hack fucking license plate.
Right, it's always some shit.
For him, it's okay.
Yeah, he always had like Air 1 or Air 6 or Air 2. Yeah. He had a Testarossa that he pulled up. In the finals, and I'll never forget. It was in I think it was in the documentary. It was in this documentary that came out about him. It was in that about Last Dance. When he pulled up and he gave the keys to the dude that he was gambling with.
The little white guy.
Yes. So you would have bought one of these, an old school Testarossa, huh?
I wasn't going to buy it, but I was just in a state.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, go.
If you were going to buy a Ferrari.
Would I have fucked up if I bought that?
No. This would be the way to go.
And tell me what your reasoning is. What is your reasoning?
Because classic Ferraris like that, like classic cars, by the way, they're held to such a high standard because the community is prideful of the history.
Yep.
If you bought...
Brand
new Ferrari. I'd be like, what a loser.
Yeah.
Yes. But to buy a classic Ferrari like a Testarossa, to me is
more. We played the video game. Yes. Like, we're kids.
It was our childhood.
That's our childhood. Yeah, Ferraris, so like a little bit, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not a car guy. I don't know as much as you or like roguing about cars. But at the same time, I go like, I got a little connectivity to this. Like, this was cool to me when I was young.
Yeah, it's your youth.
Like, but I stopped myself.
They're pretty affordable.
I'm going to buy that car, bro.
Yeah. What was your first car?
I grew up in the city, so my first car was a Toyota Corolla when I came out here.
Right, that's so
wild. My cousin's Toyota Corolla, she gave it to me.
You still don't have a car?
I don't have a car.
Does your lady have a car?
No.
Damn, isn't that so crazy? Wild? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you guys don't need
one. I have electric bikes.
What? Oh, I've seen these.
Yes.
Russell Peters has these things at his house.
The Super 73 has all these different ones. They've been very generous. And then I bought one that's called a Huck. And this is so fire, man. This guy, I actually want to give him a plug if that's cool.
Like, yeah, please.
He's a veteran. Huck. It's a Huck. He's a veteran. He makes these electric bikes. They're motorcycles. The pedals do like nothing. But he found a way to like make it a bicycle.
A bicycle,
it's
right.
It's a motorcycle. I'm going 60 on the high with my girl in the back seat. She's popping up and down.
It's called a Huck?
H-U-C-K.
H-U-C-K.
Yeah. Shout out to Brett, my boy. Brett McCoy. The guy, he's out of North Carolina or something like that. Look it up. You'll see.
Huck Cycles or something?
Yeah, Huck Cycles. You're on it. It's a fucking motorcycle. It goes way too fast for me.
Electrified rides with pride.
There it is.
Build your own bike. This is a motorcycle, bro.
It's a motorcycle.
I'm looking at it. It's a motorcycle.
It's a motorcycle. It goes 60 miles per hour. I don't need to go 60 miles per hour.
It's a bicycle motorcycle.
It's so dangerous. I didn't ride it the entire time during Netflix. I was like, I'm going to get in an accident. I won't be able to film this. And then, of course, Akash gives us all corona. But still.
Shout out to Akash.
Shout out to Akash. But that is like kind of cool. But again, I don't. Why do you have like a big spend thing? You got a nice house. I think you had to put some money down on the house.
Yeah, but that was it. That was the only thing I ever spent money on. I don't spend money because you're gonna say I'm faking it or I'm corny, but I'm so afraid of it going away. I just think it's in the back of my old Irish Catholic, blue collar working class head of like. Well, they're going to take it away, or it's going to go away.
This is good.
Never leave me, dude. I feel guilty as you know. What's weird? Guilty about spending money for other people,
but for yourself, you feel something wrong.
It's insane. My wife, she's never asked for shit, which is annoying. I've actually said that to her. I've been like, you could ask for more shit. I'll buy you more shit. She never asked for shit. Honestly. It's weird. It's like weird to be like, you don't ask for shit.
We got
to
go out with the girls, man.
Let's go. I would love to.
When LA opens up again.
Let's do it now.
Up in SB. We can't even go to a restaurant. Her whole family's from Santa Barbara.
Yeah, but nothing's open up there. I thought up there.
We got to go. A place with like fish. We had to get to go.
Wow.
So you can't even eat anywhere.
Was she born and raised up there?
She's born and raised there. And then she moved to New York when she was like 14 or something like that, or 15 to do ballet. She was like really good at ballet.
What?
Yeah.
She was a professional or whatever.
Well, she did like the high school thing, and then she was like, "This is a horrible way to live." And then
It seems miserable.
Yeah.
And did they make money? I'm dumb.
No, it's just a bad life. So she went to school, and now she's in business school.
Now she's gonna and then
she can make all the money, and I'm retiring, bro.
I was just gonna say
that's what I'm saying. Like, just go get the money. Yeah, I'm gonna make my Ocean's 11's movies with Santino. I'm going for 2 months.
I'm smoking. Would you ever move out this way because of her out there?
Not even out there per se, but like I like what you have. Like when I saw your place,
I'm in the suburbs, papa.
I don't even care where it is. Like I just like the land. Yeah. I like going into a yard and just being like, oh, okay, cool, this is mine, and I can be outside and it's private.
Yeah,
and like I like that. I just think it's really cool. So you can't have that in New York,
right?
And that kind of bothers me.
What about Long Island?
I don't want to go all the way out to the island. If I'm going to be on the water, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
There's no point in being on the water and it snows.
That's very smart.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's funny that you say that because I've said, when I thought, a family friend was going to move to Long Island, and I was like, it's cool. It's a great little, it's a
nice. I spent my summers in Long Island.
Yeah, no, it's, I was, it's nice, but also, you know, the winters are still the winters on Long Island, it's, you know.
If I'm going to move to the beach, it's going to be out here.
Right.
I think we just see what happens with her. She's still, you know, she finished up business school, see right. where the job offers
Because up
are.
There is beautiful, man. I've talked about escaping up there.
It's
We've
gorgeous.
Had multiple conversations. The only reason that we're gorgeous. Not going to move is because, you know, if I'm moving, it's to leave California. I'm not going to move to a new place in California.
Where would you go?
We're looking at Denver. We've already.
Really?
We went and looked at some land already, yeah.
Denver's fire, dude.
Well, I love Denver, Colorado as a whole. I have this thing in my heart for because I've gone there for years with her and, I don't know, man. There's something about...
How would you do the pods? Fly in?
Fly back and forth, yeah.
That's what everybody seems to be doing.
It's a 1-hour and 20-minute flight from Denver to here.
So you come in once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You have a place here. I imagine you just get a little one bedroom or something like that.
Yeah.
You do two or three pods.
Bop, 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 and then take off. Yeah, I wouldn't even do it. No, I would do it every other week is what... That's
so
kind of what I
stack
planned.
The pods. You'll do...
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, just because I want to... I don't know. I want the ability. I mean, look, things are going to change when the country opens. We're going to be... The touring is going to be absurd.
I think it's going to be the first thing people come back to.
Yeah, you know what? Look at... some because someone was talking to me about... oh, yeah, like what if, you know, that doesn't really bounce back as well? I go, dude, after the Great Depression, people wanted entertainment. So fucking bad.
I think
they wanted to feel alive again.
But didn't they say like the movie industry boomed during the Great Depression or something?
It did,
it was like the one thing that did well.
Well, that's also because that's all that was left at some point. That's all they had. But live entertainment took off in the 50s and the 60s because people needed to have something to be like, I want to go to a show. I want to feel a thing again.
I want to feel connected with people. I want to like sing songs. I want to go to a concert and sing a song I know with 10,000 other people.
So bad. I want to smoke a joint and have a drink with strangers.
Yeah.
So bad again.
Yeah.
I miss being around an energy because I'm not a big energy guy when I go out, but I love being in it. Like I want to feel it around me, right?
Yeah.
Like I like to go, if I go to a bar or a club or whatever, I like to be in it, but I like to just watch it. I don't know what it is. I like to kick it and watch it all happen.
Dude, sometimes I'd have friends over at my place, like when I was a kid and I was like high school and stuff like that. And I would go into my room, but just kind of like leave the door open. And they'd be like hanging around, like whatever, playing video games or whatever in the living room, et cetera. And I just kind of like know that they were there. And I'd just be like, all right, that's cool. I like just like knowing that there are people around, but I didn't need to be exactly plugged into it.
No,
that
but it feels good to know that the action is happening.
Yeah.
There's something about that I think people need again, especially in the world of entertainment. Like I booked the only show I have booked deep in the year. I have one October date that I'm not going to talk about yet, but it's because we think then that this theater will be open.
Yeah.
And also, I know people are going to be like foaming to go back.
Yeah. I mean,
come summertime next year.
We're good.
We are. If we're not good, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
I think people are over it now.
Come summertime, we're doing it.
I think people, the sentiment I get even out here is like they're ready to risk it.
Well, people are just, I mean, you know, look, and everyone's like, LA is booming and it's crazy, an epicenter and all this stuff.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
Explain. What do you mean?
They say that
Corona's
booming. Have the most cases and all this stuff. Yeah, but it's like.
Why?
I think we're the highest population. I mean, there's too many humans here, right? And they all live close to each other. And also, what's the winner? Dude, Fauci and all these guys were saying the winner's going to be the worst, and everyone's like, we'll see.
So
and then it is.
Why didn't they prepare for it? Like,
that's my point. What was it, though? See,
talk your shit, do your shit then. Like, if it's so bad, then have extra beds ready. Like,
right. How about these empty stadiums that nobody's using? Go to Staples Center. They ain't fucking playing there.
Y'all got to get rid of, we got to get rid of that boy Newsom.
You
gotta get rid of that motherfucker. We gotta get rid of Cuomo, but like y'all gotta get rid of Newsom.
Isn't that funny that your problem is like less embarrassing than ours? Yours at first was I was like, New York, and now I'm like, nah, fucking LA.
Dude.
We win every time with embarrassing ourselves. We're the best at embarrassing ourselves.
Is anybody supportive of this guy?
No, I don't care if you're a liberal or a Republican or a conservative.
It seems unified.
Yeah, no one likes the dude because he's a fool. The guy's
a fucking
fool.
Fraud.
He's a phony. He's a fool. The dude closed down
the wineries.
Restaurants.
And then he went to eat at French Laundry.
I know, then he went out to eat.
Great restaurant, though.
So good.
If we have to take the lady somewhere,
I get it.
Maybe we go up to Napa.
We would.
I'm just saying, when it opens up.
I mean, because he knows, like any of us know, the rich don't have to stop.
The
rich don't have to stop. It's a lie.
And when we talk about the rich, we're not talking about us.
No.
like,
no.
Like, when you get. when you get rich, you realize how not rich you are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you get a little money, you realize, like, how...
I got a couple of bucks.
Yeah,
a
couple of bucks.
When these guys we're talking about, they are the... I met a guy that won $1 million. And I said, whoa, that's crazy. And he goes, yeah, I guess it's whatever. And I was like, right, it's different. Him, it was a joke. It was a gambling thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it was $1 million. And I was like, holy shit, that's a phenomenal win. Yeah. You know?
There's a, you know, Lil Duval.
Yeah. I love that. That dude is hilarious.
That's like my mentor.
He's hilarious.
I just love that guy. I don't even know if he knows that. But to me, I just look at him in so many ways.
If you don't know, by the way, look him up on Instagram at the very least.
He's blocked by Instagram now.
Oh, what, really?
There's some weird thing going on. He has a backup account called like Lil Duval Backup, but they just keep, every time they bring his account back up, they remove it.
Why? Because it's so raw or whatever?
I have no clue. I think this is people hating him. But
that's like Freddie Gibbs. Freddie gets in trouble all the time because he posts all sorts of shit. I love Freddie Gibbs.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, but Lil Duval, what?
He, I don't know what the fuck I was going to say. What were we talking about before that?
I don't know. I slipped.
Damn, man. what did he say? No, I wanted to say is he...
I mean, he does.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. Well, what were we talking about right before that? French Laundry.
Yeah, we were talking about taking the girls that eat French Laundry and breaking the rules, and then rich and how rich is wealth is different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has this term that he calls it rich broke.
Yeah, rich broke.
Meaning
yeah.
like he's rich, but if he stops working, he'll be broke.
100%.
So like we're rich broke. Yeah. Like we're good, we're comfortable, but we gotta work. Good.
Yeah.
We can't stop. There are people out there that they don't ever have to work anymore. Their kids will never have to work.
Yeah.
And their kids will never have to work.
Yeah. And if they invest right, their kids will never have to work. Yeah.
Like there are people that have so much money that just leaving the money where it is will generate enough money for generations to exist.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, no, and also when you see it, when you learn it, when you meet it, it puts a lot in perspective.
I think it hurts you a little.
Well,
like as a human being, like not having those stakes, like the fact that we have to work makes us great at what we do, right? We're like constantly thinking and hustling and trying to find different ways, right? It's like the restaurants in New York, like how do I find a way to like get people to come here in 30 degrees outside?
Right.
They're going to find every way they possibly can.
Well, they're hustlers. Because they were born that way.
Imagine you had 50 mil just sitting in a bank account. You think you really build in a fucking gazebo outside on Park Avenue, right?
No, we're closed till next year. We're going to the Bahamas. Yeah, no, that's true. And by the way, that's happened in LA. There's a few restaurants that have been closed the whole time. And I thought, I wonder how they're doing. And I'm like, these are funded by multi-millionaires. They don't fucking care. How long do we have to close? I guess we're going to Aruba. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, we'll just jet bounce. I mean, trust me, there's no shortage up here above the airport. There's no shortage of private jets that fly out.
Burbank
and Van Nuys both have tons of private flights. Mm. There's no shortage of G4s and G5s that I see flying out.
Because the people who got money are doing all right now.
They're living just fine. Nothing has affected them. I said the other day to a friend, I said, a black G5, an all blacked out matte black G5, I flew over, and I was like, fuck, man, that's like $100,000 in gas just over your head right now. And he goes, oh, it's like 10 a day. And I was like, that's what, to think about, though, they don't skip a beat. Life just continues. But then they yell at you, don't leave your house. It's insane.
The balls. I think that's why the Gavin Newsom thing is so infuriating.
Yeah.
It's like if you're willing to make a decision that's going to cripple so many people's lives and then you're not going to stand up to it yourself, it's like you should be bare minimum put in prison.
Well, we should stone you. In public, we should be able to at least stone you.
Kill you because I didn't know what the legal ramifications of that were. Yeah. But like
bare minimum,
there should be some sort of public flogging.
Shaming. Yeah, yes. Yeah, public shaming, flogging. We should get back to public flogging.
I'm a flogging.
Why can't we come around and hit
flogging?
It's a flog. It's a flog, bro.
It's a flog.
You just get walloped on the tush. That's all it is.
Like throw a banana at you. Like we should be able to throw cabbage. Like not hard vegetables or fruit. Like
soft
the ones.
Fruits. Soft, yeah, fruits. Soft fruits. Yeah, soft fruit.
A tomato.
Bring your soft fruit. Newsom's getting it today in the town square. That is how it should be. You should get punished with some soft fruit.
Nothing pitted.
No. No pits. Hey, I see you bringing a pit. You're gone.
Is that a peach? Is that a peach?
Danny, what did we say? Is that a pair of pairs are fine? Yeah. It's true. We'll make it out alive one way or the other, but I want to tell you this. Two things before we jet, because yeah. I love you and I appreciate
love you, brother.
Please watch, you guys. Everyone, most of the fans probably have already seen Schultz Saves America, and he does. Watch it on Netflix. Spread the word and keep watching everything that you guys are putting out, because it's incredible. We end the episode the same way. I walk off camera. You look in the camera and you say one word or one phrase to end the episode. You do it at your discretion. When I'm away, you do it. So when you're ready.
It was Neil Brennan.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.